Welcome to Backfence Unhinged, a conversational continental train trip to leisurely enjoy along with the middle of your day, afternoon, or night. You're about to hear an unhinged story about the line between love and friendship from Julia Oppenheimer. Then comes the second unhinged part. We'll ask Julia some questions about said story and maybe even share a story or two of our own. Hi, Andrew Dixon.
Well, hello, Frame Masters.
Once again, here we are.
Here we are.
Just the two of us.
Back in the booth.
Building big castles in the sky. Just the two of us. You and I. Where did that song come from?
Just your wild imagination.
Yeah, I'm a lover of the yacht rock, my friend. I am. Do you have any unrequited scenarios in your life at all?
And unrequited scenarios. I feel like I always... I'm a to-do list maker. And I've been doing them so long now, they just sort of run in my mind. And there's always like, I just feel like I know when I have things I need to do and when I don't. And when I finally get that to-do list done, it is so, that's when I can really relax.
Right. So it bothers you until you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm even conscious, like today's Friday, there's a couple of, there's like two things I need to do in their work. They're like weekday things. And if I can get them done today, I'm going to have such a nice, relaxing weekend. But if I don't, if I forget, if I take a nap.
Don't take a nap. Do you want me to call? Do you want me to?
Would you text me later? Just say,
send you
stop napping.
I'm going to say stop napping. Instead of a stop gap, it's a stop nap.
Yes,
that's
it
what
is
I'm sending
nap.
You.
How about you? Do you have some unrequited
I think the thing that
issues
is that I, you know, it's one of those, so I have a rumination OCD. So I spiral on the same thought over
right,
and over again.
Okay.
It's a super fun thing to have. Everyone should
drive. Barrel of laughs.
It's a barrel of laughs. And so it's like I will repeat trying to do the same thing over and over again. So for instance, I'll be like, okay, every day this week, I'm going to go exercise. I'm going to get up and I'm going to go exercise from 6 to 6:30. Then I'm going to get to my workplace and I'm going to meditate. And I just do this to myself over and over again. And then I just have this huge field. Like I'm in love with doing that.
Do you do the things?
Sometimes I do, but yeah. I don't do it consistently.
Right.
And it's like this weird, I'm in this relation, this unrequited relationship with my own, like, ability to organize my time, I guess. And, yeah.
There's an app for that. No.
There is.
There's like a bazillion apps.
There's an app, a YouTube video, and 5,000 self-help books. And so, the only book that's really worked for me is 4,000 Weeks. Do you know that book?
No.
4,000 Weeks is the average lifespan of a human being.
Oh.
And so it's more of a philosophical book.
It's longer than the 10,000 hours.
That's right. Yes.
4,000 Weeks. Damn. Okay.
Yeah. That's... Which it's scary when you boil it down to that. But it's like more of a philosophical book about you're never, no one ever in their lifetime gets done everything they want to get done.
Oh, that's, yeah.
And so it's kind of a peaceful read and you kind of have to absolve to the fact that you're like not always going to be here.
Okay.
And so anyways.
I'll check it out.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Yeah. Well, right. Oh my gosh. What
oh
a treat.
Oh my gosh. We're so
excited. This is a special
excited.
Episode.
It's
we
very
have,
excited. So
we
special.
Have a member, the key member of the team.
We do.
With us today. Julia Oppenheimer is a gal about town. When she's not gallivanting around the globe, she resides in Portland, where she recently gutted and remodeled a crack house and is currently producing a podcast.
This one!
Podcast, and spending time in her ever-expanding garden. Julia!
Hi,
Julia.
Guys!
It's so nice to be able to talk to you and not look at you through the glass.
I know. I'm always over there, like, waving my arms and trying to do, like, charades with you guys, and it's really nice to just
You're
be like,
very
oh,
good at charades.
I'm here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now if we've got, like, 6 minutes left, you can
like,
you gotta,
I'll be like, hey, guys. There's 6 minutes. Wrap it up. Stop
in
talking
fact,
to your guests.
In fact,
she's really
I
boring.
Mean, you can just do that during this episode. You can just outright tell us how much.
Be like, Fran, talk to the mic more.
That's right. Stop turning your head all the way to Andrew to speak to him.
Yeah.
You know.
I know you've been involved. Have you in storytelling for a long time? Have you told stories on stage?
I've never told a story on stage. So I used to, like in high school, I did a lot of acting.
Uh-huh.
And I was in musicals and plays. And but it's always been like rehearsed and do your lines and learn your character. And so I'm feeling very vulnerable this morning. I will say that. I, and a lot of people I know don't know this story either. So.
Oh, that feels exciting.
Right.
I love that. Okay. What was one of your favorite plays you were in when you were in high school?
Oh, I was Peppermint Patty and You're a Good Man, Charlie
Brown. No. Oh, what a key role.
And I don't know if you guys remember that musical very well, but she doesn't have a song. She's the only main character without a song. And so they gave me one of Lucy's songs, which was really nice. So I had a song. And it was the one that's like, do you see this tree? It is a fir tree. It's called a fir tree because it gives us fur for coats.
Oh my gosh.
Did you have a good Marcy to your Peppermint Patty?
I did. Yeah. So it was actually, my high school was very interesting and we did these like blocks of projects. And so one trimester was basically, we're going to produce a Broadway musical. And so it was me and my six best friends, and we were, you know, the costume designers, the producers. We had a teacher who was our director. And so Marcy was actually my very best friend, Chelsea. Aww. And she just had, you know, fake little glasses, and she followed me around, and it was fun.
It's one of the all-time great relationships, Peppermint Patty and Marcy.
Yeah.
And is Peppermint Patty the one that wore the Birkenstocks?
Yeah. Yeah, she's like the tomboy.
Yeah.
Awesome.
She calls Charlie Brown Chuck and often invites herself
Chuck.
Over.
Yeah. Yeah. She's funny. Yes. Yeah. She's like the Stockard Channing of the Peanuts.
Yeah. Totally. Well, Julia, we are so excited to hear your story.
All right. Let's
another
do it.
Let's Odyssey.
Dive right in.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
The water's warm.
So I'm just going to start it here because we're talking about friends and I have always had a lot of male friends. I've always been really good at bonding with the peers that are male. And I think that there's almost always a little bit of a crush there, but I never act on it. Ugh. I am like so notoriously single, it's not even funny. And I always have this idea in my head that's like, oh, maybe I should just like go for it. And then I'm like, but if I do, it might really screw up this really good friendship that I have going on. And it's not worth it.
I cannot relate to this at all.
Fran and I have actually had many conversations
this person.
How do you take that vulnerable step and just do the thing that's, you know, the most vulnerable thing ever and say, I like you.
Like you.
I like you. So I met Tony at freshman orientation.
Ooh, Tony.
And we went to a college in Southern Colorado, and it had, instead of having an on-campus orientation, we had an outdoor orientation. So we got to do like a four-day rafting trip on the San Juan River with some students that were already students. And so you kind of were like, this is what it's like to be in college.
Because,
you know, the metaphor of the river and the dorms or whatever, they're totally the same. But I met Tony before we got on the bus to go to the San Juan, and I just thought, this guy is cute. And he's tall, he's got dark hair, he's got glasses, he's super nerdy.
Perfect.
He's British, but he's not British. Like, his parents are British, but he grew up in the States, so he kind of has this, like, foreigner thing going on that's not really foreign. I don't know, it was very sexy.
Does he have
sexy.
An intercontinental accent?
Not really, but he has a little bit of Texas slang, twang, because he's from Houston. But then he had all these, like English mannerisms, like he says, I don't mind, instead of like, I don't care, which actually does drive me crazy because if you, I don't know, I don't care and I don't mind do seem like very different things.
Yeah.
But that's what they say in England. Mm. So Tony and I became friends. We sat next to each other on the bus and we hung out all through the orientation and we get to college in the fall and we're really good friends. And I start to notice that Tony really just dates blondes. And, he pretty much, through our 4 years in college, dates all of my blonde friends.
Let's talk about, like, Julia has curly hair. It's kind of like a sandy, light brown, curly.
Yeah, and I even, like, now I put a little bit of highlights in it, but I didn't used to highlight it when I was, you know, 17 years old. And so I kind of very quickly realized, like, oh, Tony and I are friends. We're going to be friends. Like, we're staying friends. And throughout college, his mom would come to visit. And she would host these big dinner parties and she'd make everybody these huge meals. And I'd spend a lot of time in the kitchen with her. And I became really close with his mom. And her name's Angie. And Angie used to say, oh, I just wish you and Tony would date. You guys are so cute. Aww. I just wish you guys would date. And, you know.
And you just laugh that off.
Just laugh it off. And college ends and I moved to Portland. And Tony goes on to become a pilot for an airline.
Okay. I'm sorry, but this is just getting better. He wears glasses and now he's a pilot.
I know. And he's got the uniform, you know. Yeah. Even though he's flying for like this really small regional airline, he still gets like flight perks on all the major airlines.
Fun.
So one time I'm flying back to Portland and I'm in Denver and I text him and he says, I'm in Denver too at the airport. And so we meet at the airport. And he goes, well, I have the next 4 days off. I'll just come to Portland with you.
Amazing.
And, you know, he goes up to the counter. He says, can I get on this flight? And they say, oh, sure. And then they say, oh, you're traveling with her? We'll just upgrade both of you because he's a pilot. So,
right. Hey. I mean, this Lifetime movie is writing itself right now, basically.
So he comes up here. We hang out. We have, you know, 4 days of exploring the city. And then he just goes back to work. And this is our relationship for years. Like, he's periodically in Portland or I'm in Colorado. And we spend a bunch of time together. And then we go about our ways.
And do you still have, like, you still have some ruminations, I'm sure, during this of, like, maybe, should I say anything?
Yeah, I mean, there's always, like, this little crush there. And then at some point, I just kind of go, like, you know what? We've known each other for too long now. And, like, we've just, like, done too many things. And at one point, he was visiting me in Portland, and he, like, hooked up with a coworker of mine who was not blonde.
Oh.
Interesting.
And I remember being like, oh, how weird that he's, like, visiting me and staying at my house and then, like, bringing one of my coworkers home. And whatever, you know.
I mean, whatever, but also.
So in 2016, I'm traveling in Europe by myself and I have this whole epic trip planned. And one of the things is I'm going to go visit Tony's mom, who lives in southern England.
And, oh, wow. So you've kept up this relationship.
Yeah, I've stayed good friends with his mom this whole time. Like,
super
Angie
cool.
And I text, you know. Once a month or whatever, once every 3 or 4 months, or she'll call me out of the blue sometimes just to see how I'm doing. Or she often calls me and says, I'm concerned about Tony, like how he's going through a breakup and something. And, you know, he has this like sort of unnaturally close relationship with his mother, which so she calls me and I'm in Dublin and I'm supposed to go visit her in like 3 weeks. And she says, where are you going next? Because Tony's visiting me and he's just going through a breakup and he's very sad and he needs a good friend. And I was thinking, maybe he could join you for a little bit of your adventure.
Oh.
I was like, absolutely, I'm going to Edinburgh. So she goes, great, I'm going to put him on a train. And, you know, which, you know, there's a little problematic that your mother is putting her 30-year-old son on a train.
Right.
But, yeah, I was just going to say.
I'm going to put him on a train.
She's also doing this with a British accent. Though. I'm just going to pop him on a train.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll just pop him on a train and get him up there and maybe hang out with you for a few days. So we, you know, we drink scotch and we play cribbage and we go to heavy metal shows and we're going to castles and it's just like...
You have all these things in common.
Amazing.
We're just having this great trip and, you know, and then we both go back to our lives. And I think on that trip, because he was coming on a train and I was coming on a different train and we were like, let's just share a location with each other. So we started location sharing on our phones, which was kind of a new thing
to do. That's
a big
move, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And so I could just see where he was, and we never stopped it. So, like, after this trip, we just always kind of knew where the other one was. And he, being a pilot, is, like, in New York City or in Memphis or in Paris.
Oh, so you were kind of checking up on him.
Yeah, every once in a while, I'm just like, I wonder where Tony is, you know?
Where in the world is Tony?
Out of curiosity. So he gets this job flying for FedEx. And which is kind of a dream pilot job because you don't have to deal with customers at all.
Right.
Just packages.
And just packages. And like if you're late, it doesn't really matter, you know. And he gets transferred to Europe. So he's working out of Cologne, Germany.
Wow.
And his job is to fly to like Istanbul and, you know, Prague and Amsterdam and whatever with packages.
Yeah.
And so right away I'm like, well, I'm going to visit him in Europe. Like, that's going to happen because I love going to Europe and I love travel. And
you're really good friends.
We're really good friends.
And Angie loves the idea.
Oh, Angie is beside herself. She's beside herself that he's in Europe because now it's just, you know,
close,
really
yeah.
close. So then I get invited to this German wedding. And it's not a friend, it's not a mutual friend, but it's friends that I think, oh, Tony would really like these people. And right away I'm like, great, I'm going to see if Tony wants to be my date to this wedding. Not at all out of, like, you know, a crush, just out of, like, I'm so used to going to weddings alone.
Right.
I have a friend who lives in Germany who's a really good time. Let's go to this wedding.
Yeah.
And that, I got to say, that always feels good. I've got to say, for whatever, you know, outside external social pressures there are, it does feel good to have, like, a really good date to a wedding. And
it
you
does.
Probably, like, tell everyone and everything because you're, like, it feels good to be able to share that,
yeah.
you know, with everyone.
And I'm so excited. You guys are going to love my friend Tony. He's fun. You know, he's a pilot. Blah, blah, blah.
Cribbage.
Yeah.
I mean,
we play a lot of cribbage. So I make my way to Cologne first because I want to see where he lives. And we have this epic day where, again, because we're always doing these epic days, right? And we climb to the top of the cathedral and we drink Kolsch and we play cribbage. And I teach him how to play this dice game that I'm obsessed with called Farkle that I'm playing a lot of that summer. And we just have this really fun day and we drink way too much. And we get back to his apartment that night and I go to my fold-out couch and he's kind of stays in the living room a little bit. And then all of a sudden, he's like, he's on me and we're making out.
So not even like a pause to think.
No, it was just like we were drunk, we were going at it. And then, you know, we're in his bedroom and it's on and we're naked. And all of the things ensue that you think will ensue.
Yeah.
Right.
In naked time.
And you're, this is exciting.
Yeah. I mean, it's confusing, but it's exciting. And we're like, we've been dancing around this for 20 years at this point.
Oh my gosh,
right?
20 years, like, yeah.
I'm sorry, but when isn't sex confusing and exciting?
This is true. So the next morning, there is definitely some like awkward, confusing moments. And we have a little talk about like, is this going to be awkward? And we don't have to be a couple at this wedding, we can just still be friends. And
it's pretty big that you have that conversation. I gotta say, after all this time, that you have this kind of direct conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, we've been friends for 20 years, man. Like,
let's sort this out.
Let's not screw this up. And you know, he's very awkward about the whole thing, and he ends up like leaving for a few hours, and he leaves me in his apartment. And, you know, and I'm kind of checking his location as you do, and I see his little dot, and he's in a park, and I'm like, he's just being weird and figuring his shit out. So he comes back and we're like packing for our trip and he's talking about which tie would be better for the wedding and how formal is the wedding. And, you know, we pack our bags and he's like, okay, so we go to get on the train and we have to take the metro to the station. And it's not like the main station in Cologne. It's like a quick stop where the train stops and keeps going. And he says, like, it's really chaotic at this station. Like, the train gets here, tons of people are going to get off, tons of people are going to get on. It's only here for like 2 minutes, so you just really have to go. And he's like, and it's really important that you remember our seats are 37 and 38. Like, we have to remember the seat number. Like, don't forget the seat number. And I'm like, okay, whatever, dude. Like, why are you being so weird about this? But okay.
I've traveled before.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've been on trains before in Europe, okay? So the train gets there, and it is. It's super chaotic. There's like people getting off and whistles blowing and, you know, people are jumping and people are dropping stuff and they're falling over. And it's just like, you're trying to get on the train before it leaves. And he's next to me. And then all of a sudden he's not next to me. And I think like, oh,
on the train?
Yeah. So we get on the train and he's right there. And then in my head, I think he just dropped something and he jumped off the train to grab it. And then there's all these people around me and I'm like being ushered out of the aisle and the door closes and I look around and Tony's not on the train.
No.
He's not on the train.
Oh my God.
And my heart is pounding and I'm freaking out. And of course, I like go to my seat, number 37, and I sit down and I look at find my phone app and I see Tony's little, you know, non-confrontational dot just going away,
no.
Going back towards the metro.
No.
Tony.
So I'm texting him and I'm calling him and he's not answering.
Oh my God.
And I'm shaking on this train. And what do? I call his mother,
Angie.
And Angie's livid. And she's like, I'm going to figure out what's going on. And I'm like, yes, please do. I just want to make sure he's okay. He's not answering my phone. So I have this like 5-hour train ride to Munich to ruminate about what's going on. And I get to Munich and I get to the hotel and all my friends are there. And I look at my friend Gabe and I just start crying. Oh. I just collapse into her arms and she's hugging me and I have to tell them this whole story and I'm so confused. And, you know, the next day we're going to this little resort in Austria where this wedding is.
Oh my gosh.
And it's all these German people and the bride's family who I don't know.
And it's just so, I'm sorry, but we just have to talk about how this thing just happened with this person over 20 years, and now you're going to a wedding.
And now I'm going to a wedding. And before I even get to the wedding, the bride is texting me, like, can you make sure that my mother-in-law gets there okay? Because she's bad at travel.
And oh my God, you have responsibilities.
Like, I don't have the capacity to have responsibilities right now.
Yeah.
You know? You're a puffy-eyed individual at this point.
So I'm like faking it at this rehearsal dinner and I'm just trying to be nice to people, but there's like an empty seat next to me. Oh, and
38. Seat 38. Yeah.
Seat 38.
Man, Julia.
Julia.
And I just go into my mode of like, I'm fun. I'm going to be fun. I'm going to teach everybody how to play dice. So I teach them this Farkle game that I know. And we end up, you know, I'm playing Farkle with all these German people till 2 a.m. or something. And
probably takes your mind off of it. Somehow, totally. Right.
And I get drunk enough that I sleep. And, you know, the next day I'm at the wedding and there's a full day of activities and it's a beautiful wedding and everybody's dancing. And at like, I want to say midnight or something, I'm on the dance floor and this person taps me on the shoulder. And it's not someone I've ever met before. And they're a German guy. And he says, are you the American girl with the dice? And I realize in that moment that I'm no longer the girl that got ditched on the train. Now I'm the American girl with the dice game.
That's great.
You reinvented yourself during the wedding.
I totally did.
We and Angie are so proud of you.
That's awesome.
Oh my gosh. So we have to ask, what happened with Tony?
I never talked to Tony again.
Wow.
Wow.
So that's hard one because you did.
I did the
consummate
thing.
And then it did end it.
Well, and the one of the things for me is that I feel like he did it. Like he made the move. He moved on me.
Yeah.
Right.
And then, you know, afterwards I was talking to his mom because I did want to check
in.
Yeah,
are you still in touch with?
And I'm not really in touch with her anymore, but I was for, you know, the 6 months after this event just to be like, is he okay? And, you know, thinking maybe this can be repaired in some sort of way. And I had told Angie that we slept together, you know, that was what I told her on the train, like we had sex last night. And, you know, she's like, oh my God. And she said, she's like, I think he was in love with you. And I think he's been in love with you for a long time and he doesn't know how to handle it.
Mm. Wow. That's also a hard thing to hear too, by the way. When you're like had a huge crush on somebody, it's like, ooh, that two ships passing kind of thing.
And
you
then
know?
Also like, well, I just dodged a bullet there because if that's how you handle,
right.
you know.
Intense emotion.
Intense emotion, that is like 100% a thing I'd jump off a train to get away from.
Yeah. How long before you stopped following him on your phone?
He stopped allowing the follow, like I think a week or two after that, he probably realized that it was still going on.
Yeah,
and he stopped.
Oh, Julia,
that's a lot.
That is a wild story.
Yeah,
I mean, the interesting thing is like he lives in Europe now. Like I'm never gonna run into him anywhere. It's not gonna be like a
right.
You know, we don't. My college doesn't really like do reunions or anything.
Yeah,
right. So,
we have mutual friends from college, but you know, again, he lives in Europe.
Mm. Yeah. Do they update you at all on him or anything on him likewise?
No, I mean, I feel like I haven't talked about it with all those people because it's very vulnerable and it feels,
well,
you know,
thanks for
really intense.
It with us. It's so,
you know, who knows if any of them will hear the podcast, but
right. Well, I mean, I think it's also such a story that is so true for many people, just especially the unrequited love part of it, you know, that just it is so hard to breach that line to make the risk.
And I've had, like, I had another really good friend in college who propositioned me one time. He said, I think we're really good together and I think we should date. And I, at the moment that he said that, you know, I think I was interested in someone else. And I said, I really don't want to ruin our friendship. I don't think we should date. And then years later, we stopped talking because he got married and his wife thought we were too close. She didn't like our dynamic. And so I realized I lost the friendship anyway. I should have tried the relationship because he was a really good friend of mine.
Yeah.
I mean, I have that same story with somebody that like the person they started dating was like, I don't like this friendship.
Yeah.
And
because the male-female friendship dynamic can be very hard to navigate.
As the movie When Harry Met Sally.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Discusses.
Yeah. But it is, God, it's so necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, especially speaking as a man, just to have, I mean, I'm lucky in that I do have, like, I've met other dads and they're just like, do you have like any friends you can talk about your feelings with? And I'm like, yes. Like, unfortunately, you know, obviously a lot of them are women, but I have male friends that I could get real with and go deep with, but it is.
Get real with them.
Yeah. But
get
it's
real
so,
with them.
It's so nice to have.
It's good to get that perspective and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Likewise, I have male friends who I can discuss feelings, which I also think is necessary to talk about, especially this kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's good to like air it out and try to figure it out a little bit. You know? Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That feel, I've never had that experience before and hopefully I never have it again, but I was in Europe this last fall, and I was traveling on trains by myself, and I like kind of got this PTSD for a second.
Sure.
Where I was sitting on a train and I was alone. I was traveling alone, but I was like, oh my God, remember when that, when I had to do that 5-hour train ride alone?
Oh my gosh. And just, I mean, and it's just like everything about it's so wild that he just jetted at the last minute.
The whole,
you know?
Yeah, the facade of like, yeah, I'm coming with you. Like he had to have it planned, right?
Oh,
I'm
yeah,
not
totally.
Actually going to do this.
It would have been so easy just to have that conversation. I mean, it would have been hard, but it would have been
but
kinder.
He did not want, so he was conflict avoidant in the end.
Absolutely.
And because obviously he did, because otherwise he wouldn't be like, remember, our seats are 37 and 37. Like, whatever you do, don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget. Don't ever forget.
Like, that's really important that you know our seats. And I'm like, why? You're going to be right there.
Right.
Because he knew he wasn't.
And it's
be
funny
because
in those moments, like, even when you're telling the story, like, no, it's clicking with you that something's wrong. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to think it's that, you know, immediately. Mm-hmm. You're just going to
be
like.
Well, I'm thinking he feels weird because we slept together last night.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's going through it in his head and feeling like.
Yeah.
What did I do? You know?
Yeah, because we automatically start trying to make sense of it. Like, oh, he dropped something. That's why he, I lost him for a second. Or somebody jostled him.
Or he ended up on a different car, and he'll be back on his car. Yeah,
yes.
Car
with drinks.
Minute,
you know? Yeah.
But thanks to modern technology, you're like, nope, his dot's going away.
His dot's getting on the metro and going back to his apartment. And then I just see his dot at his apartment, and I'm like, oh, okay, great.
Did his dot start crying?
I wish. I hope so. I hope so.
Can we change our dots into emojis?
Yeah,
okay,
that
would
be good.
That's the next step.
That's a good idea. Oh, my God. IP.
Yeah. That's
amazing. I said it first on air. Nice. That would be hilarious to, like, follow it around.
Yeah.
But then you'd have to watch it turn from, like, a heart into...
into a skull.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of emojis,
yes,
it's time for Bree's Hot Minute, brought to you by Powell's bookstore manager, Bree Hogue. Bree's actually been brainstorming some new emoji ideas. I think she's got a meeting with Apple later in the month, but she took a break to listen to Julia's story, and she has some book recommendations that she's going to share right now.
Take it away, Bree.
In the book The 7-Year Slip by Ashley Poston, the main character Clementine is determined to protect her heart and avoid heartbreak by not getting too close to anyone. Then one day, a hot southern man is suddenly standing in her apartment, and she comes to find out that he lives 7 years in the past. It's a fun twist on the trope of right person, wrong time, but also with time traveling. It would be too easy to recommend Emily Henry's The People We Meet on Vacation after hearing Julia's story, so instead I'm going to recommend Book Lovers, which is also by Henry. It's one of my favorite of Emily Henry's books because it's enemies to lovers, which is by far the best literary relation trope out there, no cap, as the kids say. In this one, two rival authors are staying near each other in beach houses, both experiencing writer's block. They strike a deal to help each other out in the literary way, which of course moves into helping each other out in the get in your pants kind of way. Both of these books are super fun reads for the beach or an airplane or a lost weekend. That's it. Back to Fran and Andrew.
Thank you, Bree. Those were great as always.
I don't know how she does that so fast.
I know.
I don't either. She's a speed demon.
She's a speed librarian.
So where can people find out more about you?
You know what? I was thinking about that because you asked that question to everybody and I was like, I'm not, I guess through the podcast.
Yeah.
Like, that's where you can find me. This is where I am. This is where my public persona lives. It's right here.
We love it. We feel very lucky to have you, Julia. Yes, you're such an important member of the team, and I just feel lucky to have both of you here.
Is this 40? Is this our 40th episode?
I think it is our 40th episode, which is like crazy.
Midlife crisis here.
Yeah, none whatsoever.
No one's jumping off a train today, guys.
Yeah,
we're just full steam ahead.
Yeah, and we also feel lucky to have all of you out there who are listening and subscribing and sharing and liking. It's really important, as you've heard from every other podcast, for anytime you share it or subscribe, it really helps us out a lot. And with that, Julia, we're going to ask you the question that we ask everyone, of course. And you know, what's a trivial thing that makes you come a little unglued or unhinged?
Well, I have a bunch, but the one that's been bothering me lately is self-checkout lines at grocery stores.
Oh.
I hate self-checkout. Like, I will wait in a 20-minute grocery store line with a cashier to avoid self-checkout. And if I have to do self-checkout, if there's no other option, you better believe that my produce is not organic and some of it just made its way into my bag without being paid for.
Yeah.
Because I am not a cashier and I do not get paid to be a cashier. And I don't know all those numbers off the top of my head.
Right.
Yeah. I've given up. I had a Target self-checkout. I just was like, I'm confounded. And I just left the stuff. I was like, I can't.
Oh, see, I just take the stuff. I do the opposite. And I'm like, well, if you're not paying for someone to be here, then you're giving me these free clothes or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I think all of these, like, there's a bunch of new technology that arrived and there was no general design of it. So for instance, like when you're trying to pay with your card, like sometimes you hold your taps are in different spots. Like I don't know if Whole Foods still had it, but they had this weird palm print technology and I was like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, there's no like, hey, would you customers who keep us in business, what do you think? Are you into this? Would you just participate?
I've actually heard the statistics that self-checkout has actually been a disaster for most stores because there's a lot more theft. Because it's so easy to steal from self-checkout. And a lot of stores have started taking out their self-checkout lanes.
As they should.
So we're winning the war.
Technological advancement is so weird.
And it is, for some people, that little interaction with, you know, the person at the grocery store is a meaningful moment.
They've actually proven this because they're called micro happiness moments.
Yeah, where someone just says, "How's your day going?"
And you get a chance to share. And you have this little chat, and you might get like just like your barista or whatever. You can be like, "Oh, Andrew, you're my regular checkout guy. I like going to your lane and you know speaking to you. And how are your
shared
kids?"
Moment of appreciation for avocado.
So much of that is going away with like the QR code ordering and the drive-through. I mean, drive-throughs have always been there, but QR codes are another one of my pet peeves.
We got a double header from
Julia. We're with you on the self-checkout lines, clearly.
Yes.
And thank you, Frank.
Thank you, Andrew.
And we just, again, have to call you out on what a fabulous job you've done, Julia, as our behind the scenes and on Mike, storyteller, editor, and producer. Frame Masters is executive producer. Frame Masters and myself are co-hosts and co-creators. Thank you to musician and frontman for Lost Lander, Matt Sheehy, for creating our theme music. And thank you to Powell's Books and Kiln Coworking Space for making this episode and our live shows possible. We recorded the show at X-Ray FM. Find them online at 91.1 or 107.1. You can find more about myself, Frame, and Backfence Storytelling shows and workshops at backfencestorytelling.com. And thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.